If Murray supported the show, I'd be less sick of podcasts.
The Blubbity Blah.
Sending out good vibes.
Good vibes. Utter deep breaths of deep gratitude and prayers for guidance and protection. And put on a didgeridoo and shamanic drumming track. Shivers or vibrations and stuff like that.
Okay, guys, welcome back to the Grime America Show. Coming at you this week again. Last week we had Graham on the show. This week we have Darren and Graham on the show. So, you know, maybe you guys like that, maybe you don't. But it's our Cosmic Summit and Tycosium and England trip wrap-up show. So, you know, we were both traveling and, you know, we figured we'd wrap it up. It was always exciting to go on the road. And historically, whenever we've done this, we've kind of done a wrap up, you know, explain what we've done. Usually it's been together. So I guess that is something that's probably a little bit new, as this is probably the first time that we've traveled separately and are doing a wrap up like that. So yeah, we got everybody's favorite podcaster, Graham, the Thunderstorm Generator Dunlop.
You're coming in a little hot. I don't know if you're seeing that on your end or not, but I should have told you before we started recording. We're having trouble streaming at some of our destinations here too, Rumble. I don't know why. Does that destination have to be updated for the TGS location? Or
it's not supposed to be.
Okay. I don't know how to fix that. But...
Oh, well.
Just got to remember to upload it, I guess, or whatever. I mean,
everything seems normal on my end. Are you sure it's not your headphones that are turned out?
We're back on Facebook and, you know, we're back on Facebook and now we can't stream to Rumble. So it's just always something.
What did we get in trouble for on Facebook again? I think that might have just been a meme of mine.
No, I thought it was an episode you said. I thought it was.
It was. That's right. It was. Man, what episode was it now? It was not one you would have thought of either.
Exactly. That's what's so weird about it. It's like you can't even self-censor if you tried, really. You're just guessing all the time.
Yeah, it was an episode I did not expect. I wouldn't have guessed for all the episodes we've done. So
anyways, it's good to be back. And yeah, like you said, we usually do this together, but since we have two stories to tell, I figured we might as well make an episode out of it, because I do have some pics from the Cosmic Summit and I have lots to share about that. Of course, you know, we got to see the Malcolm Bendall stuff in action and lots of presentations and lots of people. I mean, saw the Snake Brothers and $50 Dynasty live. They had Randall and Ben on stage drumming with them for Dios. I mean, that was really fun.
I seen that video. And we also have exciting stuff to roll out this week, so you know, in an effort to we got some new support stuff we're gonna go over, and what else was there?
Well, you're probably thinking of the trips in the future, but I don't know if we want to talk about them yet.
Oh, we probably won't get into too much of that yet.
Is that what you were thinking of, maybe? Or
that might be what I was thinking of. Yeah. We have our trips coming up that you should come to.
Yeah.
And exciting trips coming up in the future that, you know, you're going to want to be a part of. So that's why you got to sign up for the newsletter. I think if you just go to contact@thecabin.com, you can just sign up for the newsletter. I wonder if we, did we up that date that since we switched to Substack? Maybe we didn't.
I thought we did.
Yeah.
But we'll double check it. Yeah. I know there's all these little things to double check.
All these little fucking ends to tie up. So yeah, if you guys go to contact@thecabin.com, you can sign up for the newsletter and you'll get little promo codes from time to time and advance notice when we have cool trips.
So. Well, that's that newsletter, but you've also got the newsletter, our normal newsletter, which, you know, you should probably mention too, because you did a special newsletter last time about the lords and ladies of Grimerica.
Grimerica.ca/news. Nobody's reading the newsletter, you know? What? It's like fucking 20% open rate. I don't know I guess it's okay, but I mean, around here, I expect 90%.
I thought 20 was pretty good, but
I think it's okay. Maybe I get like, I my average is, I think, around 31 over on Indigenous Opinions.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's good.
With like a built audience. This one of people who have actually just signed up themselves, you'd think you guys signed up for the newsletter. You could have just opened it. Thing is, a lot of it's probably going in your junk. So,
yeah, exactly.
There's that. You might have to unjunk. Would it be Substack or Grimerica.substack.com? Is that what it is?
Well, let me just check here, because I think you can just go to the website still, go to Grimerica website and just click on the newsletter there, I think.
You can probably just go Grimerica.ca/news.
There's a newsletter button right on the front page of Grimerica.ca, and that will take you to Grimerica.substack.com. And then there's the last post is the Grimerica House of Lords. Lords, nobles, and peasants.
And so, yeah, so Grimerica.ca/news also works, it looks like.
So yeah, a couple newsletters. I mean, honestly, this is a good way to do it because we're censored left, right, and center anyways. And, you know, we're not trying to be, but it is hard to get a hold of people. I mean, I think newsletters are important these days just to keep in touch with what's going on.
I agree.
I mean, even Instagram, like we get no traction on Instagram anymore. Nothing. Unless I do a really funny meme, but our regular stuff on Instagram, just it's like nothing.
As near as I can tell, Instagram is just memes and reels. I mean,
yeah,
that's really all it consists of. I don't see another use for it. I don't see another use for the Instagram. I don't know where you're getting people these days. It all seems like just Twitter's like a big argument arena. That's algorithm is actively trying to get me fighting with people that disagree with me. And I caught it again today. It'll just automatically toggle that thing over from who I'm following.
No.
Oh, yeah, dude. Every time. So it seems to be that every time the app, like, you know, actually shuts down, you know, like sometimes it's just sort of open in your open applications. So, you know, your phone probably has a million things open on it, I bet. But mine usually has a few too. I don't
really do it on my phone lots, though. I mean, I'm usually on Twitter on my desktop, and I always stay on the For You column. I'm never on the following one because I don't want to see the people I'm following. I want to see what's in my feed in general.
Your feed should be, though, historically, and, you know, was the people you're following. That's what your feed should be built up about. That's why you follow.
I know it is, but it's what's the difference between the two? There's something
different. For You would be a bunch of people you're not following. For You are the posts that you are most likely to engage with, which is usually most likely in a negative connotation.
Yeah.
That's why when you're in the For You, that's when you're going to notice all the lefty stuff. And you're like, how'd this guy get it?
It's not a lot.
It's over half. I bet you if you look, it's over half. You just go to your feed, refresh it. It's going to be half stuff that you don't agree with.
No, I don't think so, dude. I don't know.
Are you in there now? Do it now.
Yeah, I'm in.
I'll show your screen. Let's see what's at the top.
I can show you right at the top. So I just refreshed it. And it's got RKX right there. He's, you know, and then Marty up north right there. Elections Canada stuff. John Greenwald about UFOs. More reptilians. This is unacceptable. Fuck Trudeau at the Edmonton game.
That's
not real. There's a Stanley Cup playoff game right now, too. That's how we're reminded of it.
I don't think that's real.
Justin Trudeau's alter ego is in my timeline. So this is unacceptable. And then more RKFs. I mean, look, it's all like, oh, there's Greer and Bob Lazar. That's a good one.
Are those the two? Wow, they look the same.
Trying to say, just leaving this here, Tiftastic is trying to say something there. And then David Icke, I mean, King.com, Kim.com, Shadow of Ezra. I mean, you know, it's all stuff that, like, this is what I'm getting at. I don't really understand why I would want to see, you know, other stuff. There's nothing that I disagree with so far.
I just feel mine's always full of shit I disagree with.
Well, I mean,
I just feel like that's why I follow people is to build. My God,
There's a crab coming out of its package.
Gross. Welcome to China, motherfucker. I just feel like that's why you follow people, you know? I don't need the algo deciding what I need to see, because that's how you end up seeing that. They're always trying to slip in these narratives now, you know? Like, I notice it. I mean, the one going right now is this fucking bitch, that this Hakdaw. It's got just like, you can't fucking avoid this shit. It's like they're trying to sneak this shit in everywhere. But that's even like a pretty benign one, really, at the end of the day, because I think there's all sorts of shit that is malevolent from the government. Now we know that the government is the military actively has social media accounts, and it's like they're making sure that gets to you wherever you're at. You know, it's like it's almost worse. It's almost more intrusive than like cable used to be.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I just that's why I like it. I want to keep an eye on that. I don't want to just be watching who I follow. I mean, I want to keep an eye on what it's feeding me. You know, and it's
toe-to-toe with the algo.
I want to go toe-to-toe with the algo. That's a good catchphrase, toe-to-toe with the algo.
It's a risky move, Dunlop. You be careful.
Their coach, Reg Dunlop.
You'll end up in a her situation.
So do you want to thank some lords and ladies, or what do you want to start off with that?
Let's start off by thanking some people, and then you can do the spiel, and then we'll crown some motherfuckers.
What spiel?
I don't know. You could just read the email.
Read the newsletter? I'll read the newsletter.
Okay, let's go to we have.
Should I read it first, or?
Well, no, these are just donations, so I'm not going to do that. So this is, we're going back 2 weeks now, Coach. We had the pre-recorded show last week, so this is 2 weeks worth of donations. We got $25 from Michael LaFrance. This is for Darren specifically.
What?
As he got shafted last week.
What?
Love you guys. Keep up the great work. That must be the guy that he transferred you.
Oh, right. Maybe. Yeah. Okay.
And this one here we got from B Boyle, 2222. No note. And from Lisa Birdneck, we got $20. So no note also. So thanks, that Lisa.
That is a huge help. It really is.
Oh, it really does. I mean, that's like really helps. So like it. That's these a few donations like that literally doubles our income for that week, you know, like maybe more, sometimes triples. And $100 from Brian Ellis again with no note. Maybe you got a note. Did you say
I got a note from Brian.
Okay.
So, hey, Graham and Darren, I've been a follower of Grimerica for a number of years now and a subscriber to Outlawed since nearly its launch. I've been wanting to make a donation for all the work you've done with the free podcast to show my appreciation. I enjoy the lazy ramblings before the show because it's filled with conversations I would have here with my own friends goofing around. Man, we've been hearing that for like literally 10 or 11 years now, right? That's crazy. I'm glad it still sounds like that. I wanted to give some feedback on the roundups. I'm not a fan. I avoid politics and news like the plague. It's designed to divide and conquer, and paying attention to it only fuels the intergenerational crime family scumbags who think they own us. Other than that, I love the content and hope to make one of your events like CAC, Contact at the Cabin. Excuse me. I'm a big fan of Dave Matheson and I've read all his books. I believe I was introduced to his work via your podcast. Also, Graham, your presentation concerning the 3 days of the Bible, religion, and myths was a great start to understanding the path to ascension. This may help you understand. There is one religion, God's religion, the universe's religion, creator's religion or source, whatever words you want to choose. All of the religions we see in the world reflect the same truths that you've discovered in these stories. Depending on where you're born in the world, you receive the information in the form of your culture and location for you to take the hero's journey. Also, I'm disappointed that I've been listening to two Canadians for so many years now. I don't know what hockey teams you favor. Cheers, guys. Live lifelong Boston Bruins fan, but more importantly, hockey fan. Brian in Maine. Well, thanks, Brian.
I don't know my favorite team. I guess Calgary. You know, I was always a big Calgary fan. I was, when I was a kid, I was a Vancouver Canucks fan. As a young boy. And then, of course, I moved to Calgary when I was like 20. And then it just slowly seeps in. When it's the hometown team, it's pretty hard to avoid. So
unless you want to be the one of those contrarians that you like the, you know, Edmonton when you're living in Calgary, and then you're just, then it's just a pain in the ass.
And I had only moved here for like 2 years. I think I had only been here for 2 years, and they went on that epic cup run.
Right. That'll do it.
Like, that'll get you caught up in that shit fast. Yeah. So. Yeah. You know, we had a big run there where I was going. I'd go to all kinds of hockey games back in the day. All kinds. Yeah. Like weird.
I was a Habs fan back in the day when I was a kid, and then I grew up as an adult. I was a Vancouver fan because I was living in Vancouver and just going to party at the games, and that was quite the time in the city of Vancouver. And of course, we hated Boston. Boston was one of my hated because it seemed like Boston was a rival of Montreal, and then Boston was they shafted Vancouver in the finals. The refs were on Boston's side. It was just bullshit.
That's what happened to the Flames too. Game 6. That was right. A good one.
Yeah. We were so pissed off, man. It was like, I think it was Game 6 or Game 7, and I was like, ref, what are you doing? And then Boston wins. And then we rioted. I think we riot if we win or lose in Canada. It's pretty lame. Well, here we are. We just booked this podcast over
competing with the Stanley Cup final Game 7. I mean,
what are we thinking?
Even some of our like hardcore fans are not watching the show tonight because I mean it's the Game 7, so I think it's time right now.
Did Tim they
call out Darren? Isn't Tate? Book is Tate.
I think he's talking about Darren. Maybe the other Darren Grimes.
The other Darren Grimes. I didn't see him when I was in England.
Tim Pool knows you, so.
Tim the other Darren Grimes is my Google cover.
Yeah, he's your Google.
He's just a little dude like you, but skinny like me, you know? He's just a little shrimp. So anyway, yeah, maybe. I guess it'd be kind of cool if the Alberta won the cup. I mean, I really don't give a fuck. I wouldn't even care if it was Calgary, but there's probably a bunch of bars that almost went belly up during COVID that are making hay right now.
Yeah, and we totally get it about the political stuff. I mean, we never used to be into it either, and I've always hated it that when I was growing up and stuff. But now, like especially in Canada, when it's starting to affect things so much now, I feel like it's we got to talk about it and sort of bring some of this out. So, I mean, it's the last few years have been unbelievable. So,
and that's why we do both shows, you know, so that you don't have to do that roundup. If you don't like it, I got some good stuff coming up for the roundup on that show next week, though.
And also
some UK stuff. So,
and also roundup. I mean, I know we're paying attention to the garbage, but it's also like we're not really picking political sides. I mean, it's kind of anti-political in a lot of ways. It's just that that's what's going on right now in, you know, in the culture in Canada is the politics is getting really, really dirty. It's being exposed like never before, really. How much of that is by design? I don't know, but it's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch all my predictions come true of this, you know, these things just breaking down. First it was a water pipes, now it's a dam, and it's this other shit. You know, it's just like one thing after another. Civilized society is just collapsing. Oh, it's a shame, really. It's a shame. So I should also mention Peter Cosby did become a new patron. So $10 a month. So we appreciate that. Pete, we couldn't do it without you guys. So we do have some exciting news. So like we just read some notes. We didn't really get a lot of notes, but we got some donations.
I got another note though.
Oh, so, do you? Okay. Yeah,
I'll read that first. So good morning, Graham. I just listened to your latest episode that featured you. Very cool shit, man. Thank you for getting all this together in a show. It's really cool to see a modern guy becoming versed in the arcane. Probably not too long before you get initiated in the ancient knowledge and writing your own books. I don't know about that. Well, the reason I am writing is while listening to the show, I kept getting an overwhelming feeling that the 3 days nights is referring to. I've gone on some tough solo psychedelic trips and they left me understanding things about myself and the world that I didn't know prior to the trip. I'm wondering, is the Great Pyramid possibly ever used as an isolation chamber in order to trigger NDE-like experiences? being a long sensory deprivated will definitely, I'm not sure what he means there, being long, will definitely cause the mind to turn inward and possibly pull out some truth. I can't help but wonder if the 3 days, 3 nights fast and being isolated would bring the initiates to a certain truth that they would not otherwise have ever known. Psychedelics can do it. Scrying can do it. Perhaps fasting and having your senses cut off for 72 hours triggers an inner response that normally is just not there. Anyway, that's what your show made me think. The 3 days and three nights fasting can trigger an NDE of sorts and get a person to experience the inner sanctum of the mind. And I think that's where all the answers lie. More I could say about this, but just keep in mind as you piece more and more together, I think they were trying to trigger an inner truth that can only be known after going through an NDE type experience. Maybe on the other side, you come out godly. Who knows? Just a thought. Thanks for the great show, man. My man, Shane. Thanks, Shane.
I agree. It would be the day after the 3 days, if it is to do with the solstices.
Oh my God, it is right now. Yeah. Right?
I think so.
The third day? It might even be the third day. It was the 22nd, 23rd. So it's the end of the third day right now, I think. I think it was the 21st. Are you checking that right now? Or?
Yeah, I'll check it.
Yeah. But yeah, I agree, Shane. I think I've talked about that before, about it being a sensory deprivation chamber.
It was the 20th.
Oh, wow. Really? It's already been 4 days? Shit.
So today is the fourth day.
Yeah, fourth day. So we just went through that where the sun paused before its journey back into the cold north.
That's right. It's long ass days right now. Long ass days with yeah, that's right. Ian, it's a full moon as well. So it's double whammy.
It's a full moon, yeah. See, I'm looking for the solstice with the new moon. That's the winter solstice with the new moon, I think, might be something.
New moon, dark sky.
Yeah.
Cold. All right. Read the newsletter, and then we can get down to business. Like I said, it's a new way. We're reading your notes. Now we're going to do this other thing. We're just trying to get you guys to support the show.
Yeah.
Any way we can.
Join the prestigious Grimerica House of Lords and Ladies. Would you rather be a peasant, noble, or lord? Dear Grimerica supporter, we are excited to introduce a new way to honor and recognize the incredible contributions of our dedicated supporters. The Grimerica Show podcast has always thrived thanks to the generosity and support from listeners like you, and we want to recognize that in a special way. Introducing the Grimerica House of Lords. Supporters who contribute cash or services totaling over 1,000 Canadian will be honored and remembered as the Lords of Grimerica in the Grimerica House of Lords. But that's not all. Our most generous contributors will have the unique distinction of being recognized as the warden of their province or state. So this is like from No Agenda. We're stealing it from No Agenda. I'm sure they're fine with it. They probably told us to do it. So we'll give them credit. This is kind of like their system. I remember Micah Hanks tried it once too, a while back when he had his sort of No Agenda-like show. How it works, Lords and Ladies of Grimerica, once you contribute $1,000 or more, you'll be immortalized in the Grimerica House of Lords. Wardens, the highest contribution lord or lady for any province or state, will be deemed its warden, a prestigious title that can be overtaken by higher donations. But once a lord, always a lord. Nobles, every donor, no matter the amount, is a noble of Grimerica, enjoying recognition and honor within our community. The distinction sets you apart from non-supporters who will be considered peasants or serfs or rabble.
Rabble.
Your contribution elevates your status and showcases your invaluable support for our show. Thank you. This is your opportunity to join the ranks of Grimerica Royals, showcase your support, and become a part of Grimerica history.
There you have it. Is that the end? Look at this old jingle failed made.
Congress is now
probably coming handy.
Welcome, congressmen and congresswoman. You have been invited of this Congress because of your donations to one of the greatest podcasts in the land, the Grimerica podcast. And now I invite you to please take your seats as we welcome our chairpersons, Mr. Darren Grimes and Mr. Graham Dunlop. And welcome to
the Grimerica. There we have it. Okay, so exciting news. Thanks, Graham. Now, what we got is it's basically, we, like Graham said, it's $1,000. We think there's, we know there's four people. There might be more. I don't know that there is anymore, but we know there's for sure four. So we're going to make them here. If you, it's an honor system. So if you think you have, tell us, you know, show us, prove it. Just send us, hey, I gave you this much money. You know, don't lie. And we'll get you a thing going. So start off with, we have, well, we have Mike, Liberal Mike, but he hasn't got back to me with his details yet. So he's going to have to wait.
What kind of details?
Like what is, what he wants his title to be.
Oh, Lord something of Grammarica or Lord?
Yeah. So for example, I have, we have a friend of the show, Steve Lynch, who gave us like $650 or $600 just a couple weeks ago and has been giving us donations for years. Also made me a tomahawk and you a wizard. Yeah. Worth, you know, worth a fortune. So he's the first on the list. He wants to be known as Lord Turd Herder of the Pacific Northwest.
I thought it was going to be something about the blade or something about his, you know, metalsmithing.
Well, he says a turd herder is just longhand for plumber. So he must be a plumber by day and a swordsmith by night. Because the swordsmith game is, you know, it's not like back in the day. Blacksmithing probably ain't as hard to make a full-time gig. He does make great stuff, though. So if you guys are looking for a knife or a sword, get in touch with Graham and I, and we will put you in touch with Steve. And if he wants to do it, he'll make you cool stuff. So, yeah, Lord Turd Herder of the Pacific Northwest, which is exciting news. He would be the warden of the Pacific Northwest as well, because we don't have another lord for around there. So by default, it's Steve Lynch. And for the next one, we're going to go across the pond to our buddy Anthony Hubbard. He came on the show as well, been a supporter for years, and was huge help over in the UK. And it looks like he's going to play a huge part in some stuff we do in the UK coming up. That's exciting that we're not going to tell you about yet. Okay, so he is going to be Lord Anthony Hubbard, Lord Porky de Mowbray, Lord of the Pies and the Midlands. So he's also by default the warden of the UK. So if you guys want to knock him off his throne, become the warden of the UK, let us know. Or you could just be a lord alongside him. That's fine, too. Or you could just be a noble person, which we have plenty of nobles in the UK. And last one for today would be Lord Paul. Sir Lord Paul of Jasper and warden of Alberta. So, you know, that's pretty much our core. Those are the four guys. Maybe there's more if it is.
You know, can I mention one right now?
Yeah.
Alex Sakaris from Skeptical. Lord, the Lord Skeptic, let's call him.
Oh, yeah, that's right. He did give it. That's right. He's another huge supporter. That's another guy that helped us out along the way. So there's five. If you guys think you're on that list, let us know. If you guys want to hit that list, just keep supporting and you will get there. I promise. You know, you'll just chip away. You can sign up for a monthly, you know, and you'll get there. And then when you get there, let us know and we will make you the Lord of something. And then, you know, when you're around other people, they got to call you my Lord. That's it.
Or my lady.
Or my lady. You could be the first lady of Grammarica. Actually, that didn't come out right. So that's,
well,
our wives would be the first ladies.
Yeah.
If it was a presidential system. Anyway, sign up. Grammarica.ca/support. Sign up for a monthly or make a one-time donation. And we will love you for it. Thank you for it. If you're getting some value from the show, it's not a free show. It's a value for value show. So if you are getting some value from this, I think this episode 661, all there, all for free, grammarica.ca/support. Sign up today or make a one-time donation. All right. So should we get into the meat of it? I mean, Tycho's was good. I was only there for the one day. I saw Simon's presentation. And it was really, you know, seeing it in person and be able to ask questions like that. I mean, I've been pretty into that Tycho's thing from day one, but you'd have a hard time at this point convincing me that that's not the model of the solar system.
Wow. That says a lot.
I'm at like 95%, maybe 90%. But if they
explain what it is then to people,
it's a geoaxial system. So Mars and the Sun are a binary star system, and the Earth is caught in the middle of it. So it's all like one system that's spinning together.
Does the Earth just happen to be caught in the middle, like in another solar system?
No, it's really like a trinary system.
Oh, okay.
And it looks like the other observable one is possibly Sirius, A, B, and C.
Wow.
And there's a bunch of, like, you know, all the sort of sizes match up. And
a bunch of is there a bunch of more trinary ones too then, or? So.
Well, I don't know. I think that's the only one they've found so far is they're really looking at Sirius. It's pretty far away to say it I still don't even know how they're looking at stuff that far away and saying it. It's this or that. But in this model, the Earth is only moving through space at 1 mile per hour, which tends to make a lot more sense to me than we're going through at like 90,000 miles an hour. 30 kilometers a second. That's fucking fast, not to have the atmosphere rip off and everything, you know?
So, what does that mean for, like, the sacred dimensions that Randall and...
I think it makes them all make a lot more sense. I think, like, now you can look at the reason that that's also the reason the mile is so sacred important, because that's how fast we're actually going through space, 1 mile per hour. Anyway, I don't know that Randall and all those guys, they don't agree with it, but
no,
it all makes a ton of sense to me. And there's like, when you start multiplying they've come up with a number that I think is 42,336. There's a number that they've come up to that they think that all these stars are this much closer than they say they are. So it's kind of an interesting thing because it's almost like a geocentric, but not really. It's a geoaxial, and maybe we're observing another one already. So it kind of makes life special, but a lot, you know, special in the universe, but not
too special. Because it could be on the outside too, right? Like, couldn't a planet habitable?
The argument would be that none of those ones are habitable because they are going through space at the speed that we think they are.
Oh, I see. They're on the outside, sort of, or whatever.
Yeah, that's why they don't have atmospheres, because they're moving too fast.
Oh, wow. That's okay. I don't remember that from our show with him at all.
Yeah, I'm gonna do another show with them because he's really got his slideshow together now that really kind of sets some of it home. But there's a bunch of weird things like the Mars alignments that Kepler's just, you know, averaged out, because in the eighth year it's off by 100 and some days. But this fucking model just makes it sort of work. You know, there's a bunch of other little weird things that make it makes sense to me, man. It really does.
Is that the one where Tychos was trying to figure that out and he knew there was a problem and then Kepler took it and just averaged it all from him? Like, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. At 686 days or something like that. But it's actually 707, 707, 707.
Cause something clicked for both of us while we were away this weekend. We were kind of talking about it a little bit, but how time is such an important part of all this, because it's hard to grasp the whole time thing. But Jordan Collin, that was on our show for a bit, and Malcolm keeps talking about too, Malcolm Bendel, he keeps saying the moon, what is it, rotates around itself every hour, he says. He keeps saying that. And then I finally was, that's how time comes into it, right? If the moon's doing this thing and you're saying that the Earth's moving at a mile an hour, what you know, if it is or not, but that's kind of how time gets connected with everything.
Well, like the other one would be, it's like, I think it's 8,440 miles is the diameter of the sun. 8,440.
846.
Something. It's something like that. But anyway, the amount of miles across that, the diameter of the sun in miles is like a match to the number of seconds in a day.
Yeah.
And you can start doing these weird correlations that seem like crazy coincidences. But if it's this weird geoaxial system, then it's not a coincidence anymore. That shit's all tied in together. It's a law. It's a law. It's not a weird coincidence. If the sun was 10,000 miles across, if it was 10,000 instead of 8,500 or whatever, 8,440, whatever it is, off the top of my head, I don't know. But anyway, if it was 10% bigger, we'd have 10% more seconds in the day. those things are intricately connected. You know, it's like,
and that's how it's sacred, wow, right? And it's how it's in rhythm of nature. So if you're following that pattern, those cycles, you're within the rhythm of nature.
Right? I can hear the cat. You got to get him to stop. Exactly. It's a law cycle. It's a law. It's a law. You know, it's like those things are tied into each other. That directly affecting the size, or the length of the day is directly affected by the size of the sun.
Jordan's going to come back on and talk about that, because his presentation at the Cosmic Summit was called "The Music of the Spheres," and he includes time and all these frequencies and all the correlations with these numbers. And it's really starting to finally click for me that this is how they're all connected with the imperial system, right? With all these weights, even weights, measures, lengths, distances. You were saying the UK kept a mile. I forgot that they kept miles and distances.
Yeah, they kept miles. Yeah, they did. Yeah. Absolutely. It's pretty neat. Oh, I guess it's neat because they're like, you'd think they'd be the super imperial systems. So anyway, I got this one to start us off. I thought you would appreciate this. I don't know can you hear this if I hit play? Can you hear that?
Yep.
It wasn't the full organ, though.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was talking about earlier. I would love to be in a cathedral when the full organ's going.
It would be something. Yeah. It would be something. The cathedral was really something. I got to say, that was probably the sightseeing ended up being more of a highlight of the trip than the Tychos conference, really. Because in a lot of ways, the Tychos conference was just, you know, I've seen it 3 times now. So that was like the 4th time. But it is nice to see it.
It seems like some stuff clicked for you this time that probably,
yeah, a little more intrigued. It's starting to click more and more, but I do have some pictures here that I can share quickly of the cathedral. So this was the one in Canterbury. Have you been to that one?
No, I don't think so.
So it was pretty neat. You know, here's Tony, the fag right here. That's him. But I mean, the place is magnificent. It really is. It's something else. The windows, all the stained glass. This is just like part of an arch and a doorway. It's crazy. Yeah, there's like 100 of those. Look at these little flowers over here. Yeah. I mean, we're not making anything like this nowadays. It really is. Randall's been trying to hit home for a long time how crazy these places are. But I mean, to go there and walk around and check it out. There's me in my cowboy hat. But there's a ceiling, which looks kind of eerily like the Tychos model. Right? What are the chances of that? But the ceiling was something else in that place. That's probably 100 feet up. There's a bunch more. I don't have a ton of pictures.
Yeah, look at where we're at with modern architecture now compared to that. And do you know when that one was built?
This was built in around 1080.
No way. It goes that far back?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
That's sort of the shot right when you walk in the door. So that spot right in the middle there, that'd be where that ceiling goes up super high. But I get the sense you could have that place sort of jammed to the rafters and, you know, it wouldn't get super hot. The heat would sort of keep rising with the super high ceilings. Here's me at Bamberg Castle. Yeah, that's the one from the TV show and the book I read.
Oh, yeah, right.
And this was in Edinburgh, Scotland. It's this crazy gothic looking thing. Scotland was pretty cool, I got to say. Look at the moon. You see the moon there?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
I guess it is all the same time period, but that was very, very much on that cathedral vibe. Like when you got up close to it, it's like every little part of it is just covered with crazy carvings.
Yeah. Awesome. Maybe we can head. I'm looking forward to going there one day, seeing some of those things. So, yeah, that some guys in the chats there, Kevin's still saying the sun's diameter is 864. That's the big number, 938 miles. And the moon is 400 times smaller than the sun, and the sun, the moon is 400 times closer to the Earth, the only moon in the solar system with such proportions. Hence, we have total eclipses. No other planet has total eclipses. And Ian was saying that the sun's double 432 and moon is half. Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, there's some crazy stuff. We should put all this stuff into our own sort of slide presentation, grab it from everybody that's got it. Cause I was thinking about that today, like putting it all together somehow. I don't even know where to go. There's all these different sources now. Randall's got some stuff. So, do you got some more pictures or some?
That's really like, I mean, I went to Stonehenge, obviously. I went and checked that out. We walked all the way from the Woodhenge. So it was like quite the walk. It took us half an hour to get there, but the cool thing was it was from where the village was. So that's what they say is where the people that built it or were using it had their village. We kind of walked up the same route.
Half hour?
It was a half hour, 45 minutes. Yeah, it was quite the walk. Yeah. It was good though. Then we got up and we were there by Stonehenge. We missed the painters by a week. And also just missed the solstice. I mean, you could see some of the weird hippies were starting to show up already. There was like some camper vans lining up the thing. And Tony figures out as people getting ready for a big solstice party. He said the solstice gets pretty crazy around there.
Awesome.
And then went to the Avery Standing Stones and checked those out. It's just by a pub. You know, you could just park in the pub parking lot and head over. It's very just in the middle of nowhere.
So is that like cordoned off or anything like that? Or you can walk right up to them and stuff? You can
walk right up to them and sit on them and all that kind of stuff. It's easy access. Super, no one else there. Super chill. Super chill. And then I went to, like I say, Edinburgh up in Scotland. I went and seen Hadrian's Wall. It was pretty neat. It was, it's all the stones have been sort of robbed from it. So there's not a lot left of it, but it used to be 15 feet tall and 10 feet wide.
Wow, really?
Right from one end of that fucking island to the other, 70 miles long.
When did they build that again?
Well, the story is allegedly the Romans built it back in, you know, would have been around year zero.
Wow, really?
Yeah, to keep out the barbarians, which I guess were the Scotsmen and the Saxons, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say the Saxons, yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it was pretty, it would have been cool to see back in the day, but now all them stones have sort of been robbed. There's only certain chunks of it that are even still in operation. But, and then went to the cliffs of Dover. It was kind of a, you know, where Carl Sagan went there. It was close to the cathedral. It was close to the cathedral. Yeah, there was a ferry there. There was a ferry right there. I didn't go over. And then it was also where the channel was right there.
Right.
So we could have went one way to go to France via the channel, but we didn't do that either. Maybe next time. I mean, there's a lot. I'll say this. That little island is bigger than I thought. Once you get driving around. I mean, the drive from London to Scotland was like 8 hours, 8.5 hours. It was a proper fucking drive. I mean, and you're moving and you're roundabouting. I mean, I feel like the whole drive to the airport the last day was just from one roundabout into another. It's just like zoop, 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 zoop. You know, those guys aren't texting a lot of manuals. It seems like there's a lot of manual transmission still over there.
They know how to drive. I mean, they know, they really know how to drive.
Yeah, Tony was, so, you know, Tony, shout out to Tony the Fag. He drove us all over, came on holiday with us and his lovely wife, met all his great kids. You know, his brother listens to the show, so shout out to all them. I mean, he really did show us a great time over there. So we
went. Did you guys take side roads at all? Did you do any of those country roads?
Oh, yeah, we were on the craziest country roads where you have to, like, there's only one way and you got to pull off into the cornfield so that the other guy can go by it.
I love, that's why they're the best drivers. They go down the center until there's a car coming and then they both pull over and go by. I mean, as if you could ever do that in Canada.
Dude, it was so gay over there though. Like the pride stuff is really, it's 10 times whatever is here, maybe 20. That's like cool. That in London, dude, they had fucking cables going across the street every 100 feet with just 5 fucking pride flags coming down. It was like being walking around Nazi Germany, except it's all just pride flags. Pride flags. Every boat on the Thames, whatever it is, every boat on there has a big pride flag on the front of it. Every business, pride flag on the top of the tower. It's pride, 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 pride.
Well, I guess you were there in June, so that's probably
why. Yeah. Hopefully. It was in fucking insane, dude. It really was. But yeah, it was good. I wouldn't go back to London, I wouldn't say, unless I had to. It was super crowded. I got to go on the tube, though. Tubed around London on the thing. I should also give a big shout out to James, who gave some gifts and stuff like that. So yeah, it was a great trip. It really was a great trip. I had some real weed and had a time traveling around Britain. I spent very little time in the cities. You know, I got to really see a good chunk of
Britain. You're gonna go all the way up there. Yeah.
Drive around, drive to Scotland, go drive down the coast. And I've seen a big chunk of it enough. You know, I feel like it was a good proper look at that. It takes forever to get everywhere. I mean, I'm looking at my phone and it's like, it's only like 180K. It's like an hour.
I know. And you're just like
4 hours. What the fuck do you mean 4 hours?
I know. Well, stuff's not set up like in grids like they did in these newer areas, right? When you're building a city from scratch, these things are so ancient that they're, you know, it's all the horse carts and stuff that turn into roads, and you don't really have a chance to do the grid thing that we do.
It made me claustrophobic, honestly.
Really? Eh? Wow.
At the end of it, I was a bit claustrophobic. It was good to get back on the plains. I can see, 100 miles in each direction. There's wide open fucking spaces, bro. There's no wide open spaces in England. Even when you're out on those country roads, you're in the countryside. So you're inside of a bunch of fields like you are here. But the shit on the side of the road is built up so high you can't really see any of it. You're just in this like fucking tunnel of trees. And when it's not trees, it's just super tall grass or something, you know, or these hedges. There's hedges everywhere. So you're just, it's like you're in this little hedge tunnel everywhere.
Muscle in the hedgerow.
In a tiny little car. There's no big vehicles. So it's just, you know, get back, hop in my big truck and drive into the plains where I can see for 50 miles in every direction. I got big sky. There's not a lot of big sky over there. You know, you start to miss that stuff once you get used to it. But it was great. It was a great trip. I mean, I mentioned on the other show, but dude, did you see the video that Lobos put in the chat of that flight to London?
No, that
the bathroom was totaled.
No, I didn't. I didn't look. I didn't.
So that was basically the state of. Of the bathroom that I was telling you about.
Yeah. If people want to hear more of that, they can go back to our.
I mean, I don't mind mentioning the plane was overrun with new Canadians and they fucking don't know how to use the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's a steep learning curve on an international flight.
Yeah.
And it ends up with a mess and nobody having fun. I'll leave it at that. If you're in our Telegram, there's some videos going around. That's whatever Telegram, Grammerica. It's just called Grammerica on Telegram or grammerica.ca/chats if you want to get the chats. But the video is on Telegram, I think. So anyway, yeah, it was a great trip. I'm excited to go back with the team eventually.
Right on. All right. Well, should I talk about mine then, I guess? So the
I'm wondering if you're a firmer or lesser believer in the
Tycho. No,
did you see they're letting Assange out?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
You think that's real?
I don't know. I just saw it briefly. I haven't really looked into it.
Are they just going to shoot him? Is there like an over? I don't know.
It's so weird. Everything that's going on. It's got to be a reason for it right now, right? Like, and I guess might as well do it now instead of Trump doing it when he gets elected. I don't know. It's weird.
All right. Well, yeah, you should do your thing. But yeah, I am curious to see that. The local team is down 2-1. So.
Oh shit. Yeah. Well, I don't know about the Tycho's thing. Honestly, I don't know if any more than I did before. I kind of liked it.
Tycho's thing. I mean, I'm going to get Simon back on the show. Yeah, if he can convince you on the Tycho thing. And I'm wondering if Bendall convinced you.
Well, okay, I'm going to get into all this then. This will be interesting. So here, I mean, honestly, first of all, like, huge shout out to George Howard and the Cosmic Summit. And I mean, they did an amazing job. Like, it's super professional, like three stages with all the AV and audio stuff going on. Like, here's a picture of Malcolm on stage with Johanna. And she did a really good job co-hosting with Micah. I mean, it was very, I'm like, Micah, how paradigm is this? Because we're at like the meet and greet on the first night. And this is like what George's initial speech was like very paradigmish, right? Kind of trying to merge like a little bit of the mainstream scientific stuff and some of these alternative ways of thinking about stuff. And that's how we started up the show way back then after our first paradigm symposium in 2012, was it? Yeah, 2012, I think. 2011, 2012, I think. So yeah, that's the stage. There's the wrap up there with all the guests in the end. There's the Snake Bros there and Ben on stage. Oops. I don't know. Like, this is Paul Shatskin. He was one of our guests. Like, how many guests do you think we've had on over the years that were at Paradigm? I mean, that were at Cosmic Summit?
17.
Oh, wow. 14.
Oh, I almost got it.
Yeah, pretty good. So Paul had a great presentation there about the $2. And then this is Bob Greenier talking about the Order of Electrical Engineers and the fractal toroidal moment. I mean, his was mind blowing. This is a little sub lecture that it was in a side hall, not even on the main stages, but she's coming on our show here. She's a sound engineer and she was looking at frequencies. She put all the Bendel's frequencies from his plasma unification model in, and they were like, they resonated. Like, she put, I think, 32 in, and they still had a coherent sign, basically, or a coherent, I don't know what the technical name is, but you could see the difference. Like, if you just put not random numbers in, it's all jumbled up. And her presentation was very interesting. Here's Greenier's like fractal toroidal moment. Here's a picture of Phil, one of Malcolm's guys that's helping him out with all the engines. And then that's Bob Greenier in the middle and then Malcolm on the right there. This was the first one I watched from Johanna, the Barabar Enigma. Have you heard about the caves, the Barabar caves? I'm sure we've talked about them very, very briefly with somebody.
Where are they?
I think they're in Africa somewhere.
No, I haven't.
Or India. No, it's India, I think. But they're in the middle of nowhere, dude. But I'm telling you, this fits in with the stuff the Snake Bros are talking about. Like, these caves are symmetrical and completely smoothed out granite, like very smooth, like glossy. Almost like, do you remember when we were in the Osirian complex there and they're sort of like how they can get the hard granite almost like gloss, like they can polish it. Well, these things, and they like it's made like the sphere, like the edge of one of these caves is made like a sphere, the edge of a sphere that's like 43 meters wide or something. I mean, there's this symmetrical aspect to them. It's super crazy, and they're in the middle of nowhere. So And it's the same thing. Like, some of them seem unfinished. There's a couple that seem unfinished, and they don't know if people tried to modify them and destroyed them or if they're not finished. It's hard to tell either way. This is we're going to have Jordan back on. This is his Music of the Spheres presentation that I saw. This is another pick here of that, the toroidal shape in the frequency. So she was able to make that frequency shape out of a couple of Malcolm's numbers. Here's the frequency spectrum from Jordan. These are just that's sort like of the
thing from Thrive too.
This one,
the last one.
Oh yeah, yeah, totally. They're talking about it from Thrive. Pineapple and the pea. I think that's all my pictures. Oh no, I have a couple more here. So this is the setup. This is the setup here. Full audio video for every stage. They had this main stage here. There was 500 or 600 people there, like really well attended. They had two separate rooms in the morning. So you'd pick and choose which one you wanted to go see in the morning. And then they'd come to the main stage for the rest of the day, basically for the afternoon and the evening. I think is a pretty good way to do it. Here's some stuff that Bob Greenier brought. This is from John Hutchinson, the Hutchinson effect. And here's Malcolm showing this oxygen, his analysis of the exhaust, which we'll talk about. There's a picture of him up on stage with his toroid and the machine and there's the thunderstorm generator on that gas generator there. And then here's a pic of Bob Greenier brought these SEM pictures. Like, he's got a scanning electron microscope, and he makes these pictures of these things. And oh my God, his presentation is I got to get him on the show. There he is right there with this with the engine. We got to get him on the show. I think he's got one of the most important messages. It's in line with sort of Malcolm stuff, but it's also in line with a lot of other stuff that we talk about and that was going on there. Like, here's the weird thing. The first day I was in the lectures, a name came up in all three or four lectures. I think it was three or four in a row in the day. Hal Puthoff. And there were different lectures. Shatskin, Jordan, Bob Greenier, and somebody else. I think it was, I don't think it was in Johanna's then, but that first day, it was weird because they weren't supposed to.
Hal Puthoff again?
He's the guy that was the intelligence.
Let me guess. Is he the guy who said that now we have the technology to take ET home? Is it that guy?
No. I mean, he's probably connected with that guy. He's like, I want to read a bit of his. It's going to be way too long, his whole thing. Well, he was in the SRI, the Stanford Research Institute, parapsychology, pseudoscience type stuff with Russell Targ, talking about the psychic abilities of Uri Geller and all that, Ingo Swong, the Stargate Project, but then also involved with UFOs and zero-point energy. Like, but he's also got connections with, I think, the CIA or the government at least, so he's like just in all that stuff. It's pretty fascinating. I'm going to play a couple of videos from Bob because it's worth it. He was
Bob Lazer?
Bob Greenier.
Okay.
Yeah. If I can find them here. Do you have any questions in the meantime while I look for these?
Well, I mean, Mike said he went from 10% to 50%.
10% to 50%.
Yeah, which is interesting to say the least. So I'm curious because you were like, you know, most of the way in already. So I'm wondering if you're all in or you're out. Because here's the thing. I mean, there was some crazy stuff said on the podcast that make you wonder about the rest of it, you know?
Like what?
Like being the king of England.
Oh, Scotland. Yeah, Scotland. Yeah.
King of Scotland.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. And I got feedback. They're like, how you just blow right by that? And I'm like, well, that's not really what we're trying to get into. We had to blow by a lot of stuff. I mean, I think he was the king of Tasmania too, but we didn't have time to get into that.
He fulfilled a couple prophecies. I mean, so this is what we're talking about, Malcolm Bendall, and we're talking about his thunderstorm generator, which is this new technology that supposedly transmutes the exhaust particles into like oxygen, right?
Yeah. And here's the thing. I expect the dude who invents that kind of stuff to be a little,
right?
A little nutty, eccentric, you know, it's going to happen. So.
Actually, I think it was Kevin Stills in there in the chat again, talking about that. Kelly Johnson at the Skunk Works. I think it was Ben Rich actually that said that.
Ben Rich. That's right. I think I heard Grant Cameron say that at like a million miles an hour one time.
Yeah,
I was like hungover, I think, actually, on the way home from Paradigm Symposium in 2012. And you had this podcast playing where it was Grant Cameron and some other motherfucker that talked. Oh, yeah, it was Grant Cameron and the Hidden Experience dude.
Oh.
And they're both like, blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, holy fuck, man, you need to shut this shit off.
So it's been controversial, obviously. You know, I don't think the scientists are ever going to be pleased, but when you get Bob Greener, who's been working on this stuff on a parallel path for a long time, and he's super knowledgeable and he's taking scanning electron microscope pictures of it, and he's sort of confirming what's happening in Malcolm's thing, and he's not saying that what Malcolm is, he's not like confirming exactly what's happening, but he's helping Malcolm by testing some of the stuff. And Malcolm was pretty, you got to admit, he was pretty open to people suggesting ways to test it. And people brought their own stuff in to have them look at it, to test it. There was people that are just doing this stuff at home. I want to talk to you about that. But let's...
I want to know if I can just saw off a thunderstorm generator and have the lightning gun that Terrence Howard was talking about.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you're almost there. I mean, if you had that, I mean, didn't Stanley Meyer, the water car guy, I mean, Malcolm describes his plasma gun is what was enabling that car to run on water. So he calls it a plasma gun. So, I mean, Bob Greener's the guy that talks about the ball lightning and all that too, right? He's fascinating. So I'm just going to play a quick clip of him who talks about.
I want a ball lightning gun.
You want a ball lightning gun? Okay. Let's see if we can hear this okay. He's talking about recent communication. I mean, he's really sort of synthesizing all the recent studies and stuff. And he had a bubble cavitation paper come out yesterday, and that's last year with somebody that was pretty huge, or maybe it was early this year. He really synthesizes like the modern stuff and then the stuff that Malcolm talks about, like the work from Ken Shoulders.
Someone sent me this from June the 15th, 2023, at Sydney Technical Museum. They're using nuclear magnetic resonance imaging, and they are finding that during conscious tasks, in conscious state and cognitive tasks, they have a magnetic vortex and an anti-vortex. And that, whether they like it or not, whether they agree with it or not, will produce a toroidal moment, which means John Hutchinson could feel this experiment.
He gets into consciousness, right? I mean, it's really the ancient alchemists used to say that you had to have the right intention for the alchemy to work, but he's sort of proving this through modern examples. And these are some of his pictures so here.
This could be splitting water.
Why is it not showing the image there? What's happening there? Let me try this again here.
So
that's weird. So he shows that everything is, And this kind of fits in with Terrence's stuff too. Whoops, I'm back to sharing the wrong screen here. Everything is a yin yang. Like this is what his work is showing, that there's always this yin yang. Like, and this ancient symbol is coming through on all this modern microscopy, basically.
Microscopy.
I don't know if that's a word.
Ooh, the end one looks like boobs.
Hang on.
With the one he's playing with. He's even playing with him. Like,
yeah, I know. Okay, just wait.
So this could be splitting water as it goes, producing atomic hydrogen, which it feeds on. And you see, it needs to be this scale and this level of substructure of vorticity to affect the process of accessing electrons and protons to continue doing its synthesis. And over here, if someone could grab Matsumoto's book on the table.
So he's going to go and show a book to everybody, but this is just like a taste, right? I mean, I didn't try it. To be honest with you, I didn't even talk to him a lot. I feel like in these places, I don't want to be sort of always trying to compete and talk to people and bump into people. You know, I just stand back a lot of times and hope that I'll have an opportunity at some point to talk without sort of interrupting other people. But Bob's going to talk about this one. This might be one of the most important pictures. And so he's really talking about transmutation of materials, like modern alchemy. And that's kind of what the John Hutchinson thing is. He talks about Hutchinson. We were supposed to have Hutchinson on, right? That friend of the show, or the guy that was listening to our show up in, I think a couple hours north of you in Calgary, was trying to set us up with Hutchinson. We'll have to follow up with that. I'll play this video and then I can talk more about it. And I mean, this is like the day. So here's what I loved about the Cosmic Summit. They had they had a classroom on Monday, right? So Monday you could choose Randall Carlson stuff in the main stage, or you could choose Scott Walter and Haley talking about, and Tim Hogan about the Templars and all this, this sort of ancient sort of myths and stuff like that. And then Malcolm and Bob and Sheila in this other room here. So you got to spend basically all day, like in a smaller room with these people going over everything. So you got to get into a lot of details.
High microns is one of the quantization sizes of the wheel within a wheel within a wheel that Ken Scholes talks about. And what's happened is this structure has come in here and it started to consume matter. And what happens when it consumes too much, you can imagine it gets too energetic and it gets unstable. And it's left a Celtic braid.
Oh.
They are the two structures that are orbiting like that. And it's spitting out the material that it's captured and it's depositing this. But one of the substructures within this substructure, which is already a wheel within a wheel within a wheel within a wheel of one of those structures, has lost its substructure. At this point, you can see it there, and it spat out a helical beam as it died. That is the most important image I think I've ever been able to catch.
And he's talking about microscopic symbolism from the ancient times, right? Like, which is, and it might sound obscure, but when he really puts it all together, like even a Tesla logo is that sort of helical thing that shoots down. Like he's seen this symbol in all these interactions with ball lightning and the transmutation of matter. And those other pictures at the top that you were mentioning, boobs, that's like the yin and yang, right? He always sees this like little ball inside the big ball. It's a constant thing that he's seeing, and it references all these old ancient symbols. It's fucking crazy. So I gotta get him on the show, because I really think he's talking about some of the most important stuff, like as far as like this technology, new technology, and the evidence for it. And he's the one that can synthesize it all together. And it's got to do with UFOs and propulsion. And he even commented on, I mean, I should play the comment. He commented on Ashton Forbes, is he was in this one too.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of him?
Yeah. I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, it really is pretty interesting. I don't know. You know what? Before I go to Malcolm stuff, let me play Bob's comments to Ashton.
About Ashton at that point, but
can you hear it?
Yep.
About Ashton at that point, but as I told you in my speech, yes.
So Bob also, like, he's interacting with the whole conference, right? He's asking some of the other presenters questions, like he's there, and it really sort of is helpful to bring awesome sort of material to each other's presentations.
I had already seen these very similar things in 1979, and I'd already seen that the technology was discussed in the literature you could download from NASA's website as being directly related to the way UFOs work.
Okay. Ashton is showing a video of MH370, and there's these orbs surrounding it. It's supposedly satellite imagery that's then sort of been edited into video. Bob is mentioning, so Bob is talking about what he thinks of that.
And so when I saw these spheres, for me, they weren't a mystery. It was like, oh, yeah, that's what my dad showed me. And when you look at it logically, if you want to know where a plane is, you can't do it with two points. You need three. And three is the minimum to create the azimuth where you know where it is. Okay? And so it's naturally exactly what you would need. So when I saw these videos, I said to my former director and friend, I said, hold on a minute. If it's real or not, it doesn't matter. But what it's showing is a phenomena that I believe is real, because we've seen ball lightning structures cause matter to disappear in spheres. Okay? And what I showed in my speech also...
Okay, did you hear that?
Ball lightning,
yeah.
Did you hear that?
Lightning structures cause matter to disappear in spheres.
Ball lightning causes matter to disappear into spheres. I mean, that's why this is so important, right? And you've seen that evidence in the tornadoes where stuff gets embedded right inside a concrete wall, or there's a transmutation going on, right? So Bob's the one that's sort of synthesizing this and bringing it out to evidence of ball lightning and the plasmoid. And he says that what's happening when Malcolm says that his thunderstorm generator is infused with plasmoids and they're still there, that's true. He's telling you what he's telling you is correct. That's one of the craziest things I heard there.
Okay. And what I showed in my speech also was that John Archibald Wheeler had said that if you just get a gravitational wave linked to a gravitational wave linked to a gravitational wave, that will cause a gravitational collapse. And that would create a black hole slash wormhole. And he invented the terms. And I showed the actual clip when he showed that. Now, out of the front of these structures, you get a beam. And I showed the video where we had caught that beam on camera influencing other similar structures before they hit the location where the beam was. And there's a paper called, it's by Rodionov and someone else, maybe Simeon Hayne can remember better than me, Savadimova, talking about on dark matter threads and how this creates a neutrino rocket. So there's a gravitational wave that comes out the front of these structures. It's this helical beam that comes out, and it travels much faster than they do. But when you have it oriented so that you've got it so the azimuth goes through the center of the plane, it's not affecting the plane at that point, or the thing that you want to move or make disappear. It's only when you rotate those structures so that the gravitational wave then gets pulled in, like I showed you in that bubble structure in my presentation.
So he's basically saying it doesn't matter if it's true or not, that what it looks like is it reminds him of what he saw in 1979. Like, and he's young, like he's only my age, I guess. So, I mean,
That passes for young these days.
Totally. But what he's saying is that it doesn't matter if, you know, whether it's true or not, like that's sort of what it would look like. Like, it's amazing that that's actually what the video shows, that technically that makes it very, you know what I mean? Almost like realable.
Cause he'd be like right at Freedom 55 almost. Yeah. It's like early retirement age.
It's my birthday in a couple of weeks too.
55?
54. I'm just going to pull up. Let's just get into Malcolm stuff here, I guess. Let's see. Got a couple of videos. I mean, I want to try avoid playing like just the engine running because there was so many people gathered around and everybody's got their phones and videos. And there's like, you know, maybe 20 to 40 people at times all trying to get pictures. And he's showing the results of the spectrum analyzer. I think it's a spectrum analyzer or at least the gas analyzer. Let's see here. 2779 is one of them. I'll try this one. 2725 is, oh, okay. I'll try this one first.
So here we have it. I think the direct train.
Okay. Let me share that. So this is, they've got, I'm just going to comment on this quickly. So they've got these generators, right? This one is brand new. And it's a base test, like a test case, right? Like a base model. So they're not doing anything to this. It's just going to start up and it's going to blow its exhaust like it does, full of carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide. And then you can see on the right there, they've got the thunderstorm generator and the whole unit hooked up on this one. And then they're going to play that one or run that one and show the difference.
So here we have it. I think the direct train here might be good to make a little gap because this is going to be, just a little bit to the
side,
because this is just let that get out.
So, I mean, it really.
I'm going to watch him for 10 minutes.
So that's just the test one, right? The baseline one. So just to show that they went through all these tests, right? And now let me just see which is the next one. Let's say 2779.
Run this and we'll just show you as it goes along. And basically then what I want to do was change this pipe out.
And you can see after they run this at full throttle, the color changes on the thunderstorm generator there. Looks like it gets some yield. But they get the thing running at full, basically. And you know, he shows the gas analyzer, they pass it around quite a bit. So just to summarize, like, I've seen a lot of videos of this prior, so I wasn't surprised at seeing all this. Like, this is what I expected to see, right? Them sort of starting it up and then it working and the gas changing from to oxygen levels. But they did have some sabotage issues, right? They had a I don't know if they lost part of the analyzer batteries or something at one point that caused a bit of a delay, but they also had the bubbler and the UV light didn't work. It was sabotaged right before the test. So they were claiming that there was some fuckery going on there. And so that base one came on, which is just a normal generator. And it was, you could smell it, right? You know what it's like, right? Standing in front of the exhaust of a gas generator, right? It's very obvious. And then when he puts his on, I mean, honestly, it smells clean. It does smell clean. Now, here's the thing. Phil Dubois and Bob wanted him to do tests with, they wanted to do a smoke test on it to see if the smoke is being, here, first of all, there was, let me try and find a spot where I can stop this at where people are, see if I can show you a close up of the, so you see that pipe there that's capped off right there?
Yeah.
They had the gas analyzer in that spot once, and then they had it down there, and Bob was saying like he wanted that capped off, right? And that's what Mike was saying, like they have to cap that off if like that might be sucking in air that way, right? And then air will come through to the gas analyzer on that one. So anyways, they ended up doing that the next day.
So that's basically just a new exhaust pipe, right?
Well, I mean, the copper tube goes all the way up. Is that copper? I think it's copper. So it goes from the bubbler down there, right, into the thunderstorm generator, and then it goes from the carburetor into the thunderstorm generator this way, and then it comes out the exhaust right there. So that air goes up, and if you see in the inside, you remember there's like a swirl. It's a swirling effect. There's a thunderstorm in there, basically.
That's happening. That's happening.
Yeah. And then it comes out through there. So anyways, they did the test with the cap on so that there's no airflow coming in. And it showed the same thing, like 19, 20% oxygen. But then they said, let's do this smoke test. And I mean, give Malcolm credit for allowing these guys to just step in and do this test. But they blew smoke. They did a smoke bomb by the exhaust and it sucked in. And this is kind of what they were expecting. They're like, if this is a tornado in there, like a thunderstorm, it's going to suck in air, which would negate the gas analyzer testing. Because if you're sucking in air past the analyzer, then you're sucking oxygen in that way. So, but I think they're honestly being genuinely scientific here. They're not trying to discredit it. They know that it's working, Bob especially, and Phil's been working on this for a long time. They know the thing's working because you can actually physically smell the difference. I mean, it really is doing something. It's transmuting something. So it sucks smoke inside it. So they're like, okay, well, they were excited. They're like, okay, that proves that there's a thunderstorm reaction coming on and it's sucking and it's still using the exhaust, but it's sucking air in at the same time. So then they attached a plastic tube. Actually, I can show you this video. This is from shout out to Dave, who is there taking some videos. He's going to share a bunch of videos. He got a lot of footage from Bob. I mean, I'd love to just rewatch all the footage from the classroom with Bob, but I'll show you this footage of the smoke. Oh yeah, you're seeing it right there already. Okay, yeah, so this is that part. So they attached a plastic tube onto the exhaust. And this is Phil here with the smoke, and watch what happens.
It's sucking it in. So where's the exhaust going?
Well, it's coming out as well, right? It's coming out there as well.
Is it?
Yeah.
And it's gone in and out at the same time.
Yeah, it's blown. Yeah, that's what's so crazy about it. So they were excited because they're like, okay, that sort of proves that there's something going on here. But it also negates now to do a proper exhaust analysis. You'd have to have a clean room and you'd have to measure the atmosphere of the room and have it run for a certain amount of time. So it poses a bit of a problem for the new sort of exhaust analysis. But I don't think they're worried about that. I think they know it's transmuting. They know it's something's going on. They know it's working, right? And this proves that it's working because it's sucking in oxygen. The tornado effect is sucking air back in. And I believe this whole time the bubbler and the UV light wasn't working. So he wasn't conditioning the water with the UV and it wasn't taking the bubbler on. So Bob was like, look, if this is basically a simplified catalytic converter that can transmute the materials in the exhaust with no airflow issues, right? Like the catalytic converters restrict the airflow. So he's saying, if you don't need all that other stuff, then all the better. If you need to just like create the thunderstorm and get the transmutation happening, then that's even simpler. And then you can sort of use this as a catalytic converter. There was a guy there that tunes engines and he was saying that too. Like, oh yeah, if we could get a non-air restricted catalytic converter on some of these fast cars, like he was doing like, what do you call them? Like exotic cars and stuff like that. So he was excited about it too, that it's actually doing something. And then we had a guy came up with his own sort of unit that he had built and his tubes were too long and it wasn't working properly. And they helped him with that. And then another guy said he built one that wasn't correct completely, but he was able to run his generator on 10% gas. So, you know, and Malcolm has out, he's sort of open sources. He's like, whoever wants to build it, do it, whatever. And, you know, tell us what you're getting. Like, he's really not trying to like hoard the information at all. And I think that if somebody's not worried about the exhaust and they just want better efficiency, then man, set it up on a generator. Like if you had even for like a prepper type thing, right? If you had that set up on a generator and it was able to allow it to go, and I'm not saying it'll do this, but this one guy said, hey, I ran it on 10% oxygen and 10% fuel and it took some tweaking and it still ran fine. And I charged my devices. I had a few things running out of it at 10% fuel. So, I mean, imagine if you could run a generator for a week instead of a day in any kind of scenario, like forget the transmutation of the exhaust even at that point, you know? So it's exciting to see people doing their own things here.
Yeah, I would agree. That would just be enough of a win. That'd be like, okay, beauty. If I can get 10x out of my fuel, then I think I'd be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'd have to. You'd have to be pretty happy with that, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, unbelievable. I'm just checking my notes here. Air quality test. Yeah, Ian says use a balloon. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know if you could use a balloon if it's sucking in. Well, I guess you'd have to be able to. The smoke test. How put us name? Yeah, I think that's most of my notes. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I like it. I got this quick, I'll share. Can you see it?
Yeah. This is from the model, the Tycosium model.
Yeah, let me zoom in here. Anyway, so basically, I just wanted to show that there where this would be the sun in the Tycos model. Mercury and Venus are moons of the sun. Mars is here. Mars is in a binary system with the sun. The outer planets are out there and Earth is here in the middle of the geo axial system.
And, so, and they say this is based on observational data, right?
Yeah, it all works. It all works perfectly. So, how do I make, there it is. There's how it would work.
Doesn't our moon have an extraordinary part to play in this too? Wasn't it like
I don't know the moon stuff well enough to. Yeah, but the Tycos, then you can switch any of these. You can make the sun the center of it and play with it that way.
Looks like it's right. Fribbing out there. I don't know what's going on.
Well, that's because it keeps resetting the sun to the center.
Oh.
Or you can put... let's try with Mars at the center. It's weird that I can't just hold it down. I thought there was a way to just get it to play, you know, but...
Yeah, there was.
Anyway, we could put the link for that in the show notes because you can basically go to any date in history just like you could with the other ones, and it all lines up. It all works. You can get the book there. I got the book here. I got the hard copy signed by Simon. And I mean, I've been going through it. I got a few other people switched on to it enough to order a book. You can get the book. You can get the ebook for free. So it's free online at tychos.space. And you can read the whole book there. Decide what you like. It takes a while, but I think it makes a lot of sense to me. So.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good. I'm looking forward to having some of these guests on the show too. And you too will get Simon back on. And yeah, it's kind of exciting. I really think there's a lot happening right now. It's a good time that all these things are converging together, like whether it's Ashton Forbes or Terrence Howard and Malcolm and Bob Greenier and
maybe Simon Shaq. I mean,
yeah.
It could all fit together.
Yeah, what if it all fits together? I mean, I really want to get in. I really want to sort of distill what you and I have learned about this time in as far as like the imperial system and the sacred dimensions, maybe from Randall and Jordan, and we can put it together in a simplified format or something. You know, I'm picturing something like a chart or something that, you know, and maybe Jordan's already done that, but that has all these dimensions. And it might even be on Malcolm's plasma unification model as well, but I feel like it's still all the information's all over the place.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe we could get it all together. Get it all together in one place. So anything else? I guess that's it. It's an hour and a half. I think we did it.
Yeah, man. That's it. That's great.
We could do this kind of stuff all the time if we had more supporters. I mean, you know, we did all this out of pocket.
And on the fly.
And it's expensive to go, you know, yeah. This kind of stuff. So we do that with the money that you support us with, grimerica.ca/support, guys. We also buy food with it and gas, pay carbon tax. So the more of it, the better. grimerica.ca/support. Like you said earlier, become a lord of Grimerica, you know, or a lady. And don't be a peasant. Don't be a pleb. Don't be a loser. You know, you can, the chance, at least be noble. And even better if you're a lord. I think that's it. Spam Graham. Let them know what you like, what you don't. GrimericaOutlaw.ca for the other podcast. You can get the roundups. We'll have a roundup coming up in a couple days over on that other show.
Oh, we got Climate Change 2 coming up tomorrow.
We got another show coming on here tomorrow as well. Which one's it with? What are you laughing at?
When I say something, you call back all the time. Just repeat what I said. Climate Change 2 coming tomorrow.
It's a radio thing, isn't it? That's I'm hammering true. It home. Hammering home. What, who else do we have tomorrow?
Jim Harrell, the Campfire Stories number 6. He's like the longest paranormal show on podcast in the world.
Jim Harrell, we've had him on a couple times before. Yeah, Campfire Stories, that'll be fun. And not Tony Heller, we're just doing our own climate change shit tomorrow. So it'll be just us, more us. So, GrimericaOutlaw.ca, if you want to see that. Also be on the YouTube, you know, you can get us there. Rockfin, all those places. Support the show, GrimericaOutlaw.ca/support. Other than that, we love you guys. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.
Out of the stuff dreams are made and popsicle sticks. Please look at my rocket ship schematics. Tell me it can fly to the moon. Tell me I'm not a lunatic. bet, I bet, I bet you think I'm the space cadet. I bet, I bet, I bet you think, I bet you think I'm the space cadet. No regret, I do not fret, 'cause I am a space cadet. In my hands I have a gas can and matchsticks. Yes, Earth is my home, but I need a vacation from all the sadness, the chaos and traumatics. I'll let you do the countdown, 3, 2, 1, no hesitation.
Thank you.